Hi everybody, this is Gatsad. Some of you may remember that back in 2017, I was asked to appear as an expert to testify in front of the Canadian Senate regarding Bill C-16. And in that testimony, I offered the following prophetic words. The slippery slope of totalitarian lunacy awaits us. Some are now proposing that racial categories constitute biological essentialism, and instead we should respect racial self-identities. This is known as transracialism, as per Rachel Dolezal, born white but who self-identifies as black. Now listen to the next words. How long before the government tables legislation to combat bigotry against the transracial? What about fat phobia? There are many more Canadians who are overweight than transgendered, and the collective abuse that they experience is sizable. Should the government legislate such hate? The road to hell is indeed paved with good intentions. So I read you this small passage because I wanted to point to the fact that the next glorious and noble frontier of collective Munchausen is for people who are overweight to argue that they should be protected legally from, you know, fat phobia and fat hate and so on. And again, remember that I'm allowed to say these things because until the age of 21, 22, I was the model of a godly creature, 4.3% body fat, but then I ballooned up to 256 pounds, a lightweight sumo wrestler. So having been differently weighted, I'm allowed to comment on the lunacy of the body positivity movement. I also explained this in The Consuming Instinct, my 2011 book, whereby I talk about the so-called fat acceptance movement, and I briefly refer to it in The Parasitic Mind. It's perfectly reasonable for people to expect that others are going to treat them kindly and not be overtly impolite to them, and certainly not institutionally engage in bigotry against them, right? I mean, if a landlord says, I don't want to hire you because you're overweight, well, that's not a good thing. But if people decide, I don't want to mate with someone who weighs four times my weight, that's not called fat phobia. It's called people have the individual personal agency to decide whom they are attracted to. Okay. In any case, I wanted to read for you today, exactly as I, as my prophetic words stated in my Canadian Senate testimony. Here's a, by the way, it's almost impossible to know if you didn't regrettably know that this person was being serious, that this wasn't satire that I generated. So this is published in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and bear with me because I'm going to go through the article in quite a bit of details. So here we go. This is the Philadelphia Inquirer. It just came out. This is not just came out. This is July 3rd, 2019. To end fat phobia, we need to dismantle Western civilization, says Philly therapist Sonali Rashatwar, the activist therapist who posts as the @thefatsextherapist on Instagram, discusses the philosophies behind her popular posts. So here we go. So Sonali Rashatwar hadn't planned on being a therapist growing up. Her career path, she explained while sitting in the waiting room of Radical Therapy Center, the practice she co-owns in West Philadelphia, just kind of opened. Rashatwar, now 31, endured an abusive relationship in her early 20s. After college, she started volunteering for a domestic violence response team, an experience that showed her that she enjoyed working with other people who had lived through traumas. Quote, all of my work is to better understand what I've experienced, close quote, said Rashatwar, who graduated from Temple University in 2011. So all of her work is to understand her own experiences. It's not to help other people. Okay. Quote, it's almost like I'm healing younger versions of myself by trying to find language to describe what happened, close quote. As the fat positivity movement has gained momentum, so too have debates around how fat folks should lead healthy lives. Rashatwar, though, considers how sizeism is affected by racism, misogyny, classism, homophobia, transphobia, and ableism, and she counseled people against intentional weight loss. I'm disappointed that she didn't add Islamophobia and some words in reference to climate change. Because remember, the reason why people are overweight today is probably due to lack of solar panels. I'm sure there is some link there somewhere. She pointed to the work of the artist activist Ashley Shackelford, who has written that wearing clothes from the boys' section growing up, when many items for girls didn't fit, altered how Shackelford experienced gender. Rashatwar, who noted that people may perceive feminine bodies as more masculine if they're fat, feels similarly about her upbringing. Being big and being the eldest child, she said, made her feel less like a girl growing up. Her perspective, one of a fat South Asian non-binary person, has gained enhanced notoriety through Instagram, where she often posts Telegram-like advice to the account at the Fat Sex Therapist. Last July, she celebrated 4,000 followers. Today, her follower count approaches 20 times that. She posts her advice in colorful blocks of text. Your body is an heirloom. Do you consume porn with bodies that look like yours? And then expands on those concepts in the captions. Rashatwar traces contemporary fat phobia to colonial brutality and how enslaved people were treated. Citing research advocate Caleb Luna, Rashatwar said curing anti-fatness would mean dismantling society's foundation. Quote, I love to talk about undoing Western civilization because it's just so romantic to me, close quote. By the way, some of you know that I've experienced a huge weight loss over the past while. I'm now well below 200 pounds. And frankly, I did it not because it, you know, offers me greater health profile. I did it because it's my attempt to dismantle Western civilization. I felt that when I was overweight, I was going against colonialism. I was supporting colonialism, but now I'm fighting colonialism by being thinner. So it all makes sense. I agree with this person. Then she puts a whole thing from her Instagram. I won't read that. We asked Rashatwar, a proud South Jersey native, about Instagram therapy, controversy over some of her comments, and how fatness affects sexuality. This interview has been edited and condensed for length and clarity. I'll try to pretty much read most of it. So on the effects of fat trauma, quote, what some folks think is trauma is like the event itself that happened, like the car accident that I got into is the trauma. But that's the event. What trauma is what gets stuck in my body and the way that I react when I'm in a car in the future and it stops really quickly. That's a trauma response. And so when we internalize fat phobia and we really like personalize a fat traumatic experience, it can impact our sexuality by making it uncomfortable to receive a hug because people feel like, quote, the person hugging me is probably so repulsed by touching my body. Let's just get the hug over with quickly, close quote. Even though sometimes we're starved for skin touch, some of the fat clients that I work with, the only time when people touch their bodies is when they pay for a massage or when they're paying for Reiki or some other kind of somatic body work, and that can feel devastating when that's the only time that someone's affectionately, lovingly, caringly touching your body. Then the next question, how self-worth can influence sexual interaction? When we touch someone to experience shame based on your body, whether it's about race, body size, disability, and we internalize that shame, we internalize the sense of our body having less self-worth than other bodies. Quote, when we internalize a low self-worth and our body having less value, we might be less likely to experience pleasure within a sexual relationship or to ask for the type of touch we want and don't want within a romantic relationship or to be able to even stop a sexual encounter when we want it to stop. So look how many elements of victimology are incorporated. Colonialism, racism, misogyny, all sorts of other trauma. So being overweight and the way that other people might respond to you being overweight is now the frontier of the civil rights movement. So there is no personal agency. So for example, when I ballooned from 120 something pounds in my early 20s, where I had 4.3% body fat and an 8-pack that basically is only available in Greek mythology, and then I ballooned to 256 pounds, in my case, it's because of my Lebanese Civil War trauma experience. It's not because I overate. It's not because I made personal decisions that made it such that the number of calories I consumed were more than the number of calories I expended. So over many years, I doubled my body weight. I was simply the product of homophobia, transgenderism, transphobia, Islamophobia, Jewphobia, Lebanesophobia, and the rest of it. Okay. Being an Instagram therapist, it's super overwhelming sometimes because with so many followers on Instagram, it feels like there's a pressure to produce content all the time. And I feel like I need to be putting out something new and super profound, like no one's ever heard of this concept every day. But I don't do that because that's so overwhelming. A lot of folks will reach out into my DMs and ask really personal questions. It's also really gratifying. So when I post really, really political and radical content, where I'm talking about like being anti-cop and anti-US government, anti-military folks are like, whoa, I never heard these ideas before. So now look, now her overweight status is linked to anti-police brutality and anti-colonialism and misogyny and militant feminism and Palestine. You see how they all kind of coalesce? The Zionist occupation in Palestine is linked to fat phobia. These are all intertwined. Solar panels intertwined with my having been overweight. It's all linked. It's all systems of oppression. Racist. Her comments on the Christchurch shooter. Remember the maniac who shot up a whole bunch of people around the mosque? So now we're going to link fat phobia to Islamophobia. Quote, the language that I used in that talk that I gave was actually that I was not surprised that the person who shot up the mosque in Christchurch, New Zealand, was also a fitness instructor. I was not surprised by that because people who are Nazis, people who are white supremacists, people who are trying to think of the perfect race are also super fat phobic. Oftentimes, it's very eugenic. You probably don't notice, but Adolf Hitler is the one who started the, you know, you think of the 1980s, you know, Jane Fonda craze. I can't remember the word, you know, the jumping up and down stuff. It was really Adolf Hitler who started this whole fitness craze, because he's a Nazi. And she explains to us here, a lot of Nazis are really fitness instructors. So you think of Goebbels, you think of Himmler, you think of Hitler. What did they have in common? They were into jazzercise. That's the thing. And that's how you end up with eventually having the Christchurch shooting. It relates to fat phobia and how Nazis promote fitness. That's really what it is. It's not personal agency. It's not. And remember, I won't point to this person. In my case, it's not because I made wrong personal decisions that made me overweight. There's someone else to blame for what I put in my mouth. Okay, remember that. It's very, very important to never own to your trials and tribulations. It's always someone else's fault. It's much more laudable and noble to do that. In my case, as I said, I blame fat phobia. I blame militant feminism. I blame everybody other than the fact that I overate at a Chinese buffet. All right. On pushing for better health access. An almost universal collective fat traumatic experience is like going to the doctor, and how BMI and the body mass index scale is used universally to categorize and pathologize bodies based on fatness. Remember, there's absolutely no proof that being 400 pounds results in ill health consequences. As I always explained to my physician when he would tell me to lose weight, first of all, weight is a social construct, right? It's my lived experience that determines what my weight is. Gravity is a social construct, as Alan Sokal explained to us in his 1996 paper. He's a physicist. So what do you mean BMI? What you define as a BMI of 37, I define it as 21, right? It's my lived experience. I feel good in my body. So don't tell me, doctor, to lose weight. There is no link between being overweight and diabetes. And anyways, diabetes, that's just pathologizing, you know, how your body responds in terms of how it synthesizes your blood sugar levels. You know, bigot, stop it. One really important macro way that we would have to undo fat phobia would be to finally get rid of BMI, to not use it for insurance purposes. Exactly. Get rid of metrics that capture statistical regularities regarding health outcomes. That's just bigotry. Data is bigotry. Because people who are of my BMI category and up are denied insurance coverage, are denied life-saving procedures and medication, are denied gender affirmation surgery. So look, now it's related to transgenderism. Are denied all kinds of things that we deserve access to, fertility treatments and IVF. That's one really big macro way that I could think of, because BMI has already been debunked. Okay, there is no proof that being overweight there are tons of people who reach 100 years old that are, you know, 300, 400, 500 pounds. It's just they're shy. They don't want to advertise that they're sumo wrestlers and they're 100 years old. But the data is very clear. Being 400 pounds in no way affects your trajectory of health. That's just fat phobia. Quote, the fat word. I always respect the language that people want to use. Even when I'm working with a client, I'll say, I'm comfortable with using the word fat, but if there's another word that you'd like to use, I'd be more than happy to use it. That's why I was offended by her use of fat, because I'm progressive and I'm empathetic, and I've always used in describing myself differently weighted, right? There is no fat or thin. There's just a panoply of rich phenotypes. Some people are thin at 600 pounds. Some people are overweight at 100 pounds. Anorexics can be fat, and sumo wrestlers can be thin. You know, the language that you use creates reality. As my hero Jacques Derrida explained in his Deconstructionism, language creates reality. And as you know, if you've read The Parasitic Mind, that which I call the sun, you know, the sun that rises in the east and sets in the west, a postmodernist might call dancing hyena. So who are we to say what is the sun? You get it? And so sometimes I have clients willing to use a word like fluffy or curvy or even plus size. This is why, by the way, I went when my physician would tell me to lose weight because I'm overweight. I used to say, please, doc, I'm not overweight. I'm fluffy. And that's fine. Oh, yeah. Okay, where am I? I'm happy to use different language, but I will challenge and I will ask, what is it? Where are like the genetic memories attached to the charge of this word? Because the word itself doesn't have to be emotionally charged, but there's stuff there that we should explore together. Then she posts another example of a Instagram thing, and I guess that's it. So what are we going to conclude from this? Number one, fat phobia is related to transphobia. It's related to colonialism. It's related to misogyny, related to climate change. It's related, I mean, she didn't mention it, but I can clearly see links between fat phobia and Donald Trump, as my good buddy Ham Farris would certainly argue. I mean, before Donald Trump came into power, you had no overweight people in the US. Now look at the obesity rate today, right? There is no link between Donald Trump and obesity, you're going to tell me? This is insane. Only a bigot would think that. All right, let me stop for a second with the satire and sarcasm and get serious for a moment. Although my satire is actually quite serious in describing the idea of pathogens. This is part and parcel of the victimology ethos. It's a lot harder. Okay, believe me, I started on January 1st an incredibly severe diet that has taken me. So when I started the diet, I was 229 and I'm now 196. But as I said, at my heaviest, I was 256. Every single day, I experience hunger. Every single day, I experience the endless Darwinian desires to walk into the fridge and get some food. But I stop myself. I stop myself because I need to lose weight, because it is healthier for me, all other things equal, to be thinner than heavier. It improves many of my health profiles, one of which, of course, is your blood pressure. And so by promulgating the message that this lady is promulgating, partly driven by her own narcissism, right? Because she's saying, look, I'm overweight and I don't want to recognize that there's any element of personal agency in my being overweight. Therefore, you are to blame and you are to blame and this system is to blame. That, now, if you want to do that for your own trajectory of self-delusion, that's fine. But when you become an Instagram therapist and you espouse that message to other people, then you are responsible for causing harm. Because there are very few things that are as incontestable in medicine than the link between being overweight and bad health consequences. Now, of course, you could be overweight and exercise a lot, or be thin and never exercise, and the overweight person might actually be in better health. This is like arguing, but my aunt Linda is taller than my uncle Joe, bruh, so therefore it's not true that men are taller than women. These facts are true at the population level, notwithstanding the fact that your aunt is overweight and she's lived to be 92. Smoking causes lung cancer, even though your Uncle Joe smoked till he was 89. So the reason why I weigh in on these things, because again, think about the number of overweight people that there are on Earth. A lot of people. Should we be espousing a message that says, hey guys, you know what? If you just lose 5% of your body weight, even 5%, your markers are going to really improve. Do we empower people with accurate information that allows them to live more fulfilled lives? Or do we tell them, hey, when people don't swipe right in your Tinder thing because you're 900 pounds, that's not because people don't like to sleep with 900 pounds people. That's just because they are fat phobic. They're Islamophobic. That's because of solar panels. That's because of Donald Trump. That's because of systems of colonial oppression. It's a lot easier to espouse this lunacy than to spend the next 3 years on a diet to bring your weight to the right weight. And again, I speak from experience. I'm hungry right now as I'm doing this clip. But if I want to live a long and healthy life, knock on wood, I have to use real information in the real world in judging my trajectory, in shaping my trajectory. And all other things equal, being thin is better than being overweight. So shame on this person who proclaims herself to be a therapist helping others in promulgating a narrative that only serves to assuage her own difficulty at losing weight. That's what malignant narcissism is. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.